Firefighters battling L.A. wildfires. Author of the memoir Corrections in Ink, speaking to us from Los Angeles, where she was just recently evacuated. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warnoff, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tay Maria Studio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karen, Hani Masood, Hannah Elias. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much for joining us.
Puberty is when you grow into your adult body, usually between 8 and 14 years old. All that growing brings changes that may make you feel scared, confused, excited, or all of the above. It's all good. You're just maturing. Puberty is a process that lasts years, hits differently for everybody, and can last till you're around 20. So how do the changes show up? You may get pimples, mostly on your face, but on your body too. Hair. The hair you have on your arms and legs may get thicker and darker, and you'll likely grow hair in new places, like your face, armpits, chest, and pubic area. Stretch marks are common too, a sign of your adult body taking shape. Physical changes, from body odor to growth spurts, are just part of the puberty story. All kinds of new feelings may come on too, like crushes and being sexually turned on. It's super common to feel like your emotions suddenly turn on and off, sad, angry, or irritated. No matter how you're feeling about all these changes to your body, remember that puberty is a normal part of growing up, and knowing what to expect can help to make it feel a lot less weird or stressful. Want to learn more? Go to PlannedParenthood.org/teens.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. And now, for the very last time, the off-the-wall intro theme, number 46. I really want to listen to the whole theme one more time, but I can listen to it anytime, really. I'm going to miss it, though. I'm going to miss this theme. This is the theme that we've had since the current president took office in January of 2021. Might remember that month.
Yeah, that is nigh, and it sounds different when you're saying it's going away, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Can't remember much else that happened in January of 2021, but it was a quiet month for the most part.
Oh, I can't remember anything.
And, yeah, it was, you know, a boring 4 years. But that's what we do. Every time we have a new presidential term, we change the theme around. But this is going to be a little different, I think, because we're not only saying goodbye to a theme, we're saying goodbye to democracy. That's not really an exaggeration, is it? I think that's pretty accurate. You might not believe me now, but I think in the weeks, months, oh God, years ahead of us, there's going to be example after example of democracy just being cast aside and trod upon. I mean, it's already happening. Even before this maniac takes office, it's happening. So yeah, but I understand we are very close to picking a brand new theme, which is exciting news. I think we only have, what, one more late night or all-nighter, God forbid, before we make a final decision. It gets really contentious. It didn't used to be this way, but I guess everything else is contentious as well. Why not picking the new theme? And, of course, that theme will last, I guess, the next... Well, you know, if these 4 years don't complete for whatever reason, whether it's being led away in cuffs or, you know, somebody just losing interest. I don't know. I think we have to start a new theme. I think that's how it's new ground for us too here at Off the Wall. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
I maintain this is exactly what needs to happen. This is clearly, you know, out of my hands. I just along for the ride here. It's, I'm sure, exactly, you know, going to be just all right.
You know, I would love just all right, but I think it's going to be, wow, what a catastrophe. But, you know, we'll see. The important thing is we have each other. And I mean this. Listeners, you know, we're here. And WUSB is here. And there are all kinds of amazing people, amazing strong people out there. And all kinds of people that have not yet established themselves that will be inspired. Adversity can do that. You know, idiocy and prejudice and all kinds of discrimination, that can really wake people up and inspire movements. And that is what we all have to do in the years ahead.
Yeah, I think the way that I've been kind of thinking about it.
It's fading away for the last time.
It's more like...
Goodbye, theme! That's sad. I'm really sad. Go ahead, Kyle. I'm just going to...
The antagonism of it, right, I think makes perhaps the specter of it not what it was thought of. Because what fills in for imagination when it's actually occurring, people rise to that and are sort of a counterpoint to what prior to it is sort of just a specter in people's imagination. I think that was the experience in 2016. And I think there's also a lot of tools and sensitivity and awareness. And the shtick is the shtick, whether the platform was given credence or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's something. It's something. We're going to take phone calls today, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so hopefully there are some listeners out there.
Please exercise the phone network.
Especially if you've never called before. We'd love to hear from you. Phone number is 802. Yeah, it's a different phone number. So if you're calling the radio station at the regular number, stop, because we're giving you a different number. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. We are live. It's Tuesday evening, 6:11 p.m. in these United States of America on January the... 14th, 2025. See, so we're live, or very well timed on tape. Here's a letter from one of our listeners. Fellows, I am going to miss the old theme in more ways than one. That being said, I look forward to hearing what you chose for the next chapter of Off the Wall. Well, let me just stop you right there. It's not what we choose so much. It's based on a lot of feedback, a lot of input, some random polling, a couple of coin flips, and just skill, you know, skill from people in the musical world, people in the political world, people who we call at random sometimes, and that's how we get there. That's how we get to the first round, anyway. Anyway, continuing with this letter. That being said, I look forward to hearing what you chose for the next chapter of Off the Wall. I'm doing my best to remain optimistic about whatever the future may bring. No doubt we are in for one hell of a ride.
That was a little raspy there.
I cannot believe that our listener was able to spell it that way, but boy, that's exactly how he spelled it. Just curious, does the off-the-wall theme have to be a Philip Glass piece? I'm listening to Steve Reich, music for 18 musicians, and it's lovely. Oh, I've listened to that many times. In fact, it was a funny thing about that particular album, Steve Reich, music for 18 musicians, the old theme for the Pacifica News is in there. And if you recall, you know, we aired Democracy Now! Right before this program. Years ago, we used to have Pacifica News. That no longer airs, but we did air it, and it had that theme. If you listen to old editions of this show, I'm not sure if Pacifica News preceded this particular program. It probably did. But you can hear a bit of music for 18 musicians in there. It's a very long album. It's pretty much continuous music throughout. But anyway, granted, it's a bit long, clocking in at just over an hour, but still a direction you might want to consider. You know, people already complain that our theme is too damn long. It is, but an hour, that would be even longer. And, I'm not sure we would do that. But yeah, it has to be Philip Glass. We can't get into the reasons, but it has to be Philip Glass. Keep on keeping on. You are both awesome, and I am so very grateful for the time and energy you put into all the projects you share with us. Thank you, Meadow, for that very kind letter.
Very personal too. Thanks.
Yes,
that's it's good to hear that and actually hear it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause people don't just say those things, and when it does come up, you got to read it a second time and really let it you know, sink in. Let it be something you internalize.
Yes, definitely. You said we have a phone call.
Someone is on the line. Hopefully it's not like some kind of service call. I mean,
well, if it is, then I'm glad we're keeping them on hold. If it's a listener, though, let's go right to them.
We weren't up for any maintenance. Hello.
Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Is anyone there? I don't think there's anyone here, Kyle. Is anyone there, listener? We're definitely plugged in, right? Yeah, so no, there's nobody there. Nobody there. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. If you're a human being, if you're a telemarketer, no, don't call us. But they do call. They do call. There's nothing you can do to stop telemarketers from calling radio call-in lines either.
I believe that was after you gave out the phone number. But go on. I'll try to catch some more of these. And I am looking for anything that doesn't seem like an actual individual. But go on.
Don't make us get a call screener. Because, well, I don't know who I'm warning, because it's the telemarketers.
Let's move on.
They don't listen to us. Okay, well, here's another listener letter, Emmanuel and Kyle. The DOD is handling the funeral things for President Carter, because before he was president or governor of Georgia, and before he had to leave active duty to run the farm because his father was ill. Wow, what a life. He was a Navy LT, in parentheses, SG, and I have to admit, I don't know what that means.
Lieutenant Sergeant?
Sergeant. Okay, Sergeant, maybe. Yeah.
Lieutenant? Maybe one or the other?
Well, whatever it was, he was one in the submarine service. And during his service, he assisted the Canadians with the shutdown of the NRX reactor at Chalk River, as he had nuclear experience. It is why I am glad he was in office for Three Mile Island. Signed, E85. E85, thank you for that.
Did you say he was on a submarine?
Yeah, apparently he was a Navy LTSG in the submarine service.
Wow. Okay. So maybe started out, or but by the time he was like an officer or something, you achieved lieutenant and then became a sergeant or something. I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it was like one at one time, one then the other. But I worked with a guy that was on submarines, and yeah, there's a lot of plumbing. It's a pretty important job. So I'm sure he did have nuclear experience.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I've mentioned this before. When I first came to WUSB, Carter was the president. That's how long I've been involved, and it was a very different country, very different mood. I wasn't particularly thrilled with him at the time. I don't think very many people really were, but in comparison, he certainly is miles better than most of what we've had in recent years. And it came from a period where there was mutual respect. So if a former president had passed away, well, of course, you would honor that former president. Not like today. You know, I don't know if you heard about this story, Kyle, but that county next door, Nassau County, that has been taken over by a childish fascist in the county executive's office, Bruce Blakeman, who we've talked about many times. He just keeps going lower and lower. If it's not attacking the trans community or plastering his name over everything he can find, or just acting like a spoiled brat. This guy, the latest thing, is disrespecting former President Carter. Now, it's a simple thing. It's a really simple thing. A former president dies, right? And you lower the flag, half staff, right? And that's what you do for a month after the death is announced. This has been happening for, I guess, as long as the country's been around, or at least a very long time. Well, yeah, this guy decided to ignore that request to lower the American flag to half staff on county buildings. Biden basically did what any president would do, instructed all flags on public buildings to be lowered to half staff for 30 days. And that proclamation was repeated by New York's Governor Kathy Hochul. Yes, I can't believe I have to say this. Yes, they are both Democrats. The president is a Democrat. The governor is a Democrat. And yes, Jimmy Carter was a Democrat. Now, apparently, this low intellect moron in the county executive's office decided that was enough to just refuse to even do that. Yeah. A spokesperson for Blakeman confirmed to Newsday that the flags had not been lowered on county buildings. Newsday reported that Blakeman rebuffed a request from Nassau County Democrat Seth Coslow to have the flags put at half staff, since Blakeman apparently had missed the request from the White House and from the governor's office. Newsday contacted Blakeman and the Nassau County Democratic Party for comment. Didn't hear anything back from Blakeman. Of course not. A week ago Friday, I believe it was, Newsday published an article claiming flags at Nassau County buildings had not been lowered to half staff. In a statement, the Nassau County Democratic Party said even former President Donald Trump issued a heartfelt statement honoring Carter's legacy, writing, "While I strongly disagreed with him philosophically and politically," this is Trump's words, "I also realized that he truly loved and respected our country and all it stands for. He worked hard to make America a better place, and for that, I give him my highest respect. He was a truly good man and, of course, will be greatly missed." Wow. That might be the best thing I have ever read that came from Donald Trump, which makes me wonder if he actually wrote that, but whatever. Let's say he did. For Blakeman to be even lower than Trump, boy, that's an accomplishment. Is that the goal these days? Yeah, so it's just shameful that something like this has to be politicized. You know, just to honor somebody. Can't even do that. I don't know if this was the only county in the United States, but boy, Nassau, what are you doing? I mean, you used to be a fairly cool place, and now you are turning into just a fascist republic where, you know, you attack minorities, where you basically have this fear and hatred theme going on. You know, you close yourself off to legalize marijuana, even though it's legal everywhere else in the state. You want to bring casinos in and just destroy the place. What happened? What happened to you? I mean, yeah, I've got my complaints about Suffolk County, believe me, but it's not run like that. You know, many is the time, actually, I've heard things from Republicans in Suffolk County that I did not vote for that I say, hey, that was the right thing to say. Or, you know, you did a decent job there.
Or they show up.
They do show up, yeah.
You know, when there's leadership needed for something that is, you know, not a political photo op or like some kind of stunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, the story has a happy ending, sort of, because Blakeman saw reason. Well, he saw a little bit of reason. How about that? And he said that, okay, flags will be lowered to half staff to commemorate former President Jimmy Carter, ending a period of uncertainty over whether the county would take part in the symbolic nationwide tribute. So county buildings in Nassau will lower the flags from January 7th through Carter's burial on January 9th. From Tuesday through Thursday of last week. And that's it. 3 days. 3 days. A tenth of what it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to be happy about that. We're supposed to say, wow, you are honoring a former president. My God, what is this guy's problem? Seriously, what did he not get as a child? It's disgusting. It's really, really disgusting. Nassau, you have a problem. You have a fascist problem that you got to deal with. I mean, I don't know how this happened, how you brought that guy into power in the first place. But look at the harm he's doing. Look, we have a Republican as Suffolk County executive out here. And, you know, I'm not thrilled that it's a Republican, but this guy doesn't do things like this. He doesn't say stupid things and exhibit hatred at every turn. It is possible. It is possible to have Republican leaders who aren't like that. I know it's increasingly slim these days to have that happen, but it is possible. It is still possible. Not in Nassau County, though. Wow. So, yeah, the flags are supposed to be lowered from December 29th through January 28th. Nassau County, January 7th through January 9th. Because a guy who was in power back in the 1970s was a Democrat. And that's why he cannot be honored in Nassau County. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. The Nassau County legislator, Seth Coslow, I mentioned before, he had asked that flags be put at half-staff, said in a statement he was disappointed the county executive chose to lower flags for only 3 days. For some, it seems even basic respect for an actual uniformed veteran of the armed services comes with an expiration date. President Carter's lifetime of service, both as president and a proud naval officer, deserves far more than a 3-day platitude. This is a preview of what's ahead. This kind of childishness, this kind of pettiness, this kind of ignorance and hatred, it's going to be everywhere on display. And maybe it's what we need. Maybe we need to dive into that and experience the pain and the burning sensation so that we never make that mistake again. Although I did say that in 2016 as well, didn't I? Well, it doesn't stop with Blakeman. Did you really think it would? I mentioned Trump. Trump said something good, but he hasn't extended that to his actions. His flags at his private Mar-a-Lago club were back to flying at full height. They're supposed to fly at half staff. I know it's a private building, but, you know, respect, especially if you're the incoming president. A large flag on Trump's property in Palm Beach was initially lowered to half staff, according to protocol, but has since been raised in the days after Carter was buried on Thursday in his hometown of Plains, Georgia. Trump has expressed annoyance that flags will be at half staff on January 20th. By the way, do you know, a side note here, do you know Trump is taking office on Martin Luther King Day? Do you know how painful that is to realize?
Well, everyone can celebrate something.
It's going to be a holiday. But, you know, he's going to claim credit for the holiday now. You know, federal offices will be closed and schools will be out and Trump will be... Oh, boy. It just feels like the forces of nature and fate are kind of really testing us here. Anyway, he's expressed annoyance that flags will be at half staff on January 20th when he takes the oath of office for a second term. It's a real distraction, isn't it, to have something inconvenient like somebody dying clouding your special day. But you know what? Having a flag at half-mast also shows that you're mature enough to respect the memory of somebody who once served in the office that you're about to take over. It's actually a fairly good look.
Yeah. This is Bridezilla antics.
Well, the big baby is upset. You can't have that. So today, House Speaker Mike Johnson said he is going to order that the flags at the Capitol, which are at half staff, be raised for President Trump's inauguration, defying a White House proclamation. This is just unreal. It just keeps getting more and more pathetic and absurd. Yeah, protocol be damned. Respect be damned. Trump's not happy about something. We'll just break the protocol, raise the flags, and say, you are our king. And then the flags will go back down to half staff the following day. You know, there's plenty of reasons after Trump gets inaugurated to put the flags at half staff, so I guess that's appropriate.
So, okay, what is the threshold before people realize, like, is it better that he's happy? Because I see capitulation, people like, oh, what do we need to do to keep him happy? and that's fine, but I don't think it's very thoughtful, because it's like, is him being is that better for the rest of the world? Like, him being happy? I guess the distinction in this is him being upset with the power and responsibilities of the office. But even in that, like, are we all really invested in his happiness in this position, whether it affects us or not? And I think I think there's a threshold where it's like, yeah, even if we keep him happy, it's not good for us. So why maintain that? Because it's going to get worse. If it's not actually good, even when he is happy and he just wants more and more and more and more, like the foie gras goose of leadership, we can give him more until he explodes. But like, I don't know that it actually makes things better for everyone in the way we think, because he's still going to act in his own benevolent delusion of benevolence and behave as he will. Right. And we'll let him. That's our prerogative, as though that grants us some safety. And I just find it a cognitive, I don't know, flaw. I think there's something, there's a break there where you think keeping him happy is actually in your best interest. Or even this, this is the nice one. I have it good, but I'll keep him happy to protect the vulnerable. Like, that is even effective. Like, you could keep him happy and still have vulnerable people be all the way under the bus and like 50 miles behind it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little perplexed. At what point does that threshold of, oh, let's the fealty and, oh, is he happy enough?
Right.
And what does he want now? And what can we do? What? And how absurd do we look doing it? But it's okay because it's keeping everyone safe. Like, that's super fun, I'm sure, to tell yourself. But is it the reality, I guess what I'm saying?
You know, I what you're saying, I see a theme. I see a theme where people do want to keep him happy. And as if that would solve anything. First of all, he's always going to want more. Second of all, what you do to make him happy is destructive. Let's look at the whole Greenland thing. You know, and now Denmark is saying, oh, you know, we want to talk to Trump. We're willing to increase the presence of the United States on Greenland. No, that's not what you do. That's not what you do. You don't kowtow to him in any way. Yeah, he wants to take over the whole place. What's the difference? If you give him more access and keep your name on it, you're kind of giving him what he wants and telling him that it's okay to act like this. You know, there are countless examples, and we've seen it in the tech companies basically caving in and giving him lots of money for his inauguration. God knows what he needs it for. We've seen it with Musk, of course. We've seen people kowtowing to Musk as well. You know, we have to stand up. We have to resist. We have to basically make this guy's tenure in the White House as miserable as we possibly can, because his successes are not our successes. His successes are to our detriment. And we're going to be suffering as a result of that. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he stands for. Listen to what the people around him say and do. You know, this is not something that we yield on. This is something that we basically push back even harder, and we make our presence known. And if you can't do that, you never really had much going in the first place. You were just waiting, you know, for the first strong man to stand up and say, this is how it's going to be, for you to bow down and do whatever they say. That's not what America is. That's not who we are.
It's a complex world too, and it comes at you fast. And I think we forget his complete lack of attention span. And when you resist something, you create a challenge. Challenge requires thought, requires planning, strategizing. It is essentially work when you're confronted with obstacles. So doing work as far as his nature and what we might understand of him. I mean, it's easy to say and act and with bluster and all of that, but like the work to make it, to make his wishes a reality, when met with challenge, might take more time than his attention can actually grant. Because other things may emerge as challenges, or as I said, just the world comes at you fast, especially in this office. Like, there's going to be all kinds of stuff coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep track of things that aren't going the way you decree?
Well, that's what your underlings are for. And they worry me. They worry me quite a bit. All right, let's get some air. You know, this is one of my favorite songs, and it kind of sucks that Trump plays this after his rallies. But this, you know, is a gay anthem. It's something that people have been playing since, I guess, the 70s. And YMCA is just, you know, why does he pick that song? I don't know. It's just. It's just kind of one of those things.
I guess he likes it, or it conjures something.
Hang on.
From memory, they're not too keen on him, right?
Well, okay. I have a story here. I have a story here that is an update to this, and apparently. These guys, the Village People, even though they were upset that Trump kept playing this song at his rallies, well, now they're going to be performing for him. Yeah, this is what we were talking about. Kowtowing. Bending the knee. You know, yielding. The Village People have confirmed they will perform at President-elect Donald Trump's inaugural ball and rally the day before his swearing-in. Known for their flamboyant onstage personas and infectious dance pop hits, the all-male group rose to global fame in the late 1970s, particularly with their anthem, YMCA, a song that has become synonymous with gay pride. But guess what? I want to read you something that was said by the Village People. Hang on, I have to find the right quote here.
Did they spell it out, or did they just say it in one sentence? Did they just use arms?
You can never find something semaphore? When you need to.
Well, I would suspect they're going to talk about how this is simply them accepting a invitation and doing the right thing for their country.
Okay, so here is the statement from the leader of the Village People. We will sue every news organization that falsely refers to YMCA as a gay anthem. The idea is damaging to the song. What the actual hell? This is the Village People saying this. Okay, first of all, let me just point out. Today's Village People is not the same Village People as before. They've replaced everybody except for the lead singer. And apparently the lead singer is conservative. So now they're trying to rewrite history and say that YMCA is not a gay anthem. I don't know if they have control over that or if he has control over that. And you know what? I'm turning it down right now because it's pissing me off. you know, you can't just relabel something. It's been a gay anthem forever. And if you didn't want it to be a gay anthem, well, that's too bad. That's too bad. The fans have spoken. Yeah, but I don't think this guy knows the history of his own band. You know, here are some song titles. That's Macho Man, there's San Francisco, In the Navy, Go West, another gay anthem, Hot Cop, A Fire Island. Oh yeah, you guys are just a totally straight band there. You know, appealing to the heterosexual mainstream.
The heterosexual dollar.
Yeah. Well, why didn't we ever see that before? This is disgusting. And let me just say, so that WUSB doesn't get into trouble here, I, Emmanuel Goldstein, am saying that YMCA is not only a gay anthem, it is the gay anthem. It is the gayest of all anthems. There will never be a gayer anthem than the gay anthem YMCA by the Village People. OTW at 2600.com if you want to sue me online. But boy, you know, we're going to see more and more things like this. It's disgusting. People just caving in, thinking that America has spoken. Yeah, you know what? America spoke, but they didn't speak nearly as loudly as people are giving coverage to, saying that there is a mandate. This was a razor thin difference in people voting for one side over another. There is a huge opposition and resistance to all of this.
Yeah, America spoke, but it's unintelligible.
As usual. All right, let's talk about something else, something a little bit more cheerful. Channel 11, can't see Channel 11 anymore on Optimum. It's gone.
1-1? Is that...
Yeah, WPIX. WPIX. Do you know who used to own WPIX? I'm going to take a sip of coffee while you think about this.
Is it Spectrum Cable?
That's a cable system.
Cable... No. Oh, who owned? Media ownership. Okay, so... Comcast? No.
I don't... Just no, name cable companies. You name, is there anything owners. But a cable company these
okay,
days?
Okay, GE... Disney?
No. Go back into like the 50s.
CBS?
Oh, that's another broadcasting network. No, the New York Daily News.
Oh, New York Daily News.
Used to own WPIX.
Is that's a newspaper? Sounds like clickbait.
No, it's a carnival. Yeah, it's a newspaper. The New York Daily News, for God's sake, you can't get more of a newspaper. Well, you know, not as far as journalistic integrity, but as far as a recognizable newspaper. The Daily News, a tabloid, yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of those ones you line your like pet
you could do that. With, absolutely, yes.
Just in case they have an accident.
I prefer the Wall Street Journal myself, but yeah. So they used to be owned by them. Different TV stations, radio stations were owned by different other media outlets. It was an interesting time. But anyway, yeah, so they've got into a fight. WPIX is now owned by a corporation called Nexstar. They own a bunch of other stations like WGN in Chicago, KTLA in Los Angeles, a bunch of others throughout the country. Optimum has Optimum Cable, owned by Altice, a French company, has been having a big argument with them over carriage fees, basically how much... they paid to put various stations on their cable system. Now, on January 1st, they had a big to-do with MSG, Madison Square Garden, their broadcast network. MSG Network, they carry the Knicks, they carry the Rangers, the Islanders,
All manner of distractions.
Yeah. They basically cut them off, saying that they're not going to pay what MSG wants anymore. I didn't think they would do this to a broadcast station in New York City, but if you have Optimum and you turn on Channel 11, you'll just get a message saying that this channel is no longer being carried. Now, you know, back in the early days, there was something called must carry, which meant that local channels always had to be carried by cable systems. But things have changed now. With bigger corporations buying TV stations, they expect to be paid for the honor of being carried by cable systems. Yeah, it's, I don't know whose side to take here, because it's one mega corporation against another mega corporation, and they each keep trying to get you to take their side, and you're caught in the middle. Do you think you get any kind of a rebate or a refund or anything like that? No, they keep your money, but they give you less, and they don't really care. They don't really care about the end user. In this particular case, though, I think it's becoming clear who the bigger jerk is. Let me read this story from Newsday. WPIX Channel 11 went dark on Optimum cable boxes on Friday when its parent company, Altice, pulled the station's signal from New York area cable systems. Dozens of other stations owned by Channel 11 parent Nexstar were also dropped by Altice, affecting some 4.6 million subscribers in 21 states. Now, in a statement released just after the blackout began, Altice said that despite Optimum's best efforts to reach a fair and reasonable agreement with Nexstar, the owners of multiple broadcast stations, including Channel 11, their content has been removed from Optimum TV lineups effective 5 p.m. today. Optimum offered an extension to keep Nexstar's content on the air while we continue to negotiate to reach a fair deal for our customers, but Nexstar refused. Nexstar Chief Executive Michael Biard, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's spelled B-I-A-R-D. I think Biard is the only way to pronounce that. Released his own statement, basically said, Altice has consistently made unreasonable and unprecedented demands of Nexstar, while adding, we understand the difficulty of Altice's financial situation, burdened as it is by billions in debt. Okay, so Mr. Biard of Nexstar, you establish yourself just there as a bit of a dick.
Mind your own business. Handle your business. All right, pal.
We understand the difficulty of Altice's financial situation, burdened as it is by billions in debt.
How much fiber are you buying? All right, just chill.
Wow. But the solution isn't to force Optimum subscribers to continually pay more while getting less. All right. So at this point, I'm more on Optimum's side, Altice's side, because that's kind of a shot across the bow there. Talking about their billions in debt, you don't need to bring that up. Altice accused Nexstar, which owns 63 TV stations, of anti-consumer negotiation tactics, tying local channels to less popular ones, requiring Optimum and its customers to pay for channels like News Nation, which has essentially no viewership. Oh, and we have a new leader here in the dick department. Okay, Altice, so you basically... Now you're trashing the channels that you yourself carry? News Nation? I mean, yeah, News Nation isn't much, but it's got Chris Cuomo on it, you know? And it's they're trying. It used to be WGN Superstation, which was an American version of WGN. When I say American version, in Canada, you get the real WGN, Channel 9 out of Chicago. In America, you used to get WGN Superstation, which was just like every other channel with repeats of Big Bang Theory and things like that. No viewership, they say, that channel had. In order to continue carrying Nexstar broadcast stations in various markets across the country, they also went and trashed Channel 11 programs as content that consists of reruns and syndicated content, not original programming. It noted that Metz Telecast will continue to air on SNY, While for those looking to watch the handful of games aired on Channel 11, they'll be available over the air with an antenna for free. Okay, first of all, out here on Long Island, you can't do that. Digital signals do not travel that far, and an antenna outside will not help. All right? And to basically dismiss all of Channel 11's programs as reruns and syndicated content, you know what? I happen to really like watching the Channel 11 news with Kitey Tong, and I can't do that now. Actually, I can do that because our Canadian dish allows us, believe it or not, to watch Channel 11 in New York, as well as other Nexstar stations like KTLA in Los Angeles, which has been invaluable over the past week with the horrible fires that are taking place in the Los Angeles area. Can you imagine how cold it is for Optimum to shut that service off to people in California at the very time when they need it the most? That channel, KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, has been on the air 24 hours a day, no commercials, covering the fires, covering evacuation orders, and just all kinds of really, really vital, important things. The definition of what a local television station should be. So, I think it's Altice that is in the wrong here. You have to wonder, you know, there's other cable companies out there. They don't seem to be having trouble with MSG, with Nexstar, with carriage fees, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, this is unprecedented. And, I hope Letitia James looks into it.
Well, full disclosure, as a shareholder, I do
You're
not...
You're not a shareholder
I
at
do
all.
Not condone that activity. Uh-huh.
All right. That's sad. That's just very sad. And those fires, my God, it's unprecedented. And again, we are seeing this childishness, this shameful habit of Republicans to tie everything to politics. You know, you can't honor a president from the 1970s if they're a Democrat. You can't help people in a disaster area unless you trash their leadership because they happen to be Democrats. Look, I've seen a lot of false statements made as far as why these fires started, why it's hard to put them out. And every single one of them, when you look into them even a little bit, they fall apart. They fall apart. The hydrants didn't work because everybody was using hydrants at the same time. That's pretty obvious. The reservoirs had as much water as they were supposed to have. And yeah, the mayor was away in Ghana when this happened and should have been there. But, you know, I don't see those same Republicans criticizing Ted Cruz for leaving after a disaster in Texas to try to go to a warmer climate. You know, the hypocrisy is just absolutely staggering, and it's shameful. There are people suffering here. There should not be conditions placed on aid to them.
Yeah, you got to stay focused in moments like this. It's really about listening to the command structures that are handling what's occurred and getting the correct messaging and resources to the right people to sort of alleviate the most suffering possible at once and begin what we can only hope will be a swift recovery, as naive as that sounds right now. And I think giving more oxygen to these folks with inflamed pants, I think, you know, their lies and stuff really shouldn't have as much room to grow and get other than to be put down at their sort of political face value.
These horrible people are going to be in full control in a week. And, you know, you recall the hurricane in North Carolina last year, where they were trying to accuse Democrats of somehow preventing aid from getting to them. And that turned out not to be true as well. So they're trying to demonize Democrats into being what they are already doing. And I just hope people's eyes open to see this and don't just listen to what you hear on social media, because all that is an echo chamber where some idiot like Elon Musk says something and all these people just agree when there's absolutely nothing to back it up and all the facts say otherwise.
Yeah. It's hard to be critical of leadership when you're at the levers of that, even decrying past leadership because, well, you're in power now. Do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, next week when we have a new theme, there's going to be new leadership. They're going to be in charge. They're going to be to blame when things go wrong. Hey, you know, I heard this song yesterday on the radio. It brought me to tears. And
me too.
It's because I listened to the lyrics again and applied them to today's society. And it just blew my mind. I hope it does the same for you. This is the extended version, a couple of extra lines of The Clash's Straight to Hell. And hopefully that's not where we're going, but we'll find out. And we'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com. Good night.
Bye, y'all.
British jig and reel, speaking kings. shut at Railhead Town Steel. The steel mills rust. What a throat in the generation. Clear as winter ice. This is your
go straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Oh, Papa Sam, please take me home. Oh, Papa Sam, everybody, they wanna go home.